Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 424. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me here at the beautiful, luxurious, incredible Casa de Cole Coffee.
Luxurious.
It's luxurious. It's something about the weather today, I think. I'm finally.
That must be it.
I mean, it's luxurious. All. I mean, the Casa de Cole Coffee, always the palatial grounds of the Casa de Cole Coffee.
The crew sweep the floor up. That one's good.
Staffed it well. The refrigerator was well stocked when I went over there. The beverage director has really stepped up his game. So, I mean, really, the whole place is great, but it's something even nicer when it's like 75 degrees outside, light little breeze, partly cloudy. This is the weather I was waiting for all April long. It took us to May to get there, but we'll probably get it for like 2 days and it'll be 115 degrees, but we got it.
That's what I felt like. It was kind of scary because we had it for like a week or two, and then we immediately got that week where it was like crazy hot, and I was like, oh, that was it, huh?
That was it, huh?
Well, yay, here we are in the summer. And then it kind of got its shit together, and here it gave us the good stuff. But yeah, this weather is just fantastic. I mean, it's been a little bit windy, so my allergies have been a little bit crazy, but I'll take the temperature any day of the week.
It's gonna work out nice. It's a busy week for me personally speaking. As soon as we get done recording here, I'm gonna head off to the airport and pick up my mom from the airport. She's actually flying in because Friday is my son's birthday, and we're having a birthday party at the house, and my mom wanted to be there. So then of course Sunday is Mother's Day, so you can't ever forget that.
Yep.
So a lot going on.
I'm such an idiot. So my mom hits me up, and she's like, my stepdad's mom is, I forget how old she's turning. She's like, can you do me a favor? Will you send her a birthday card? So I end up getting a birthday card, and I knew Mother's Day was coming up. So I'll just get another card. And I saw this card, and I'm going to peel back the curtain.
Okay.
Did I drive to a store? No. Did I go online to Amazon and said, hey, let's see what cards we can order? So right now I have a box of birthday cards in there.
You ordered cards online?
You can order cards.
I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. That's probably the one thing I still go to the store to order is cards.
But like for birthday cards, I'm like, who cares? So they give a pack of like sort of generic. So it's great, like especially if your wife has like tons of his kids' friends or whatever.
Yeah.
There was like maybe three or four of the same one. There were like four different styles or whatever. So then I was like, okay, well, if I'm ordering that card, let me just look at Mother's Day. Let me look at mom cards. I pull up this one, has a great sentiment. I'm like, oh, it's beautiful. I was like, oh, that's great. Let me order that one as well. And I get them both here. I'm signing the card. I'm like, yes, I got this one for Miss Jenny. Let me put that in the mail. Let me send it. I was like, oh, for my mom. I was like reading it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is beautiful. This is going to get mom going. And then I start to go to write my little thing and see right at the very bottom, it's like, happy birthday. I was like, oh, fuck, I got a birthday card for her too. So me just being me, I just scratched it out and said, I'm an idiot, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I told her, I was like, I got you a card, but you're going to see that I'm an idiot. And she's like, did you get me a birthday card? I said, yes, I did. And she's like, well, it's the thought that counts.
It is really the thought that counts, right? You said it had a nice sentiment on it.
The sentiment was rock solid. I'm like, I guess I could see. It's all same thing with the Mother's Day card. You're just buttering up your mom.
Of course.
And you butter it up on the Mother's Day or on a birthday card. But it was like great. It was just, oh, you've been here for this and you've listened and you've been my strong shoulder to blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then I get the end. I was like, happy. Oh, fuck. How did
that's
I do
hilarious.
That?
So just scratch it out and put Mother's Day?
Just literally. It's just so chill. It's just scratched straight through a big X through it. And I was like, your son's an idiot. The card. But, yeah, you can get everything literally on Amazon.
That's probably the one thing I still go to the store for is cards.
Well, you probably should. You probably should. So you make sure you don't – because they have it sectioned
off. They have
sections. Just for that.
Right.
Just for that reason. So you don't be like me and buy this wonderful mom card that is actually a birthday card.
That's too funny.
What a weekend. I'm actually excited. Hopefully I'll get to see your mom. Maybe at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Maybe
we
if I'm
trying
to
get together
see over
something.
There. Are you guys doing anything themed for? Because I know you like to do
we kind of
maybe not themed, but just the little parties, like the extravaganza.
My wife definitely loves to do like themes for decorations and stuff like that. I think this year we kind of toned it down a little bit. We got this big. My kid's had it like 3 years in a row now, but he loves it. It's this huge like video game truck.
So you're getting the game truck.
We're getting the gaming truck again, and you know, getting some food and having some friends over, and you know, where our house is, we kind of live in a cul-de-sac basically, so it's cool. Like, not only can we have our house, as you know, just kind of explain to everybody, but there's it's like I said, it's just like a cul-de-sac basically, but there's no passing me so we can use that whole area in front of us. Like, we end up using it like our property, so we get to have like a big like outdoor party, and it makes parties feel a little nicer.
He's got that solo kid spoiled life.
Oh, ridiculous. My kid is so spoiled. It's ridiculously spoiled. And
what's so funny is like – he's got to think like every kid has birthdays like that. And it's like, no, it's not like that.
Not
when there's like three or four kids. They ain't all getting game trucks.
Shout out to all the parents, man. Even just like the sports and stuff like that. When you have like multiple kids, you got to take them to multiple places. And my goodness, man.
I can only imagine.
I can't imagine what that's like. So anyway, in fact, my kid's not even in town right now. My kid is my wife has been losing it. It's his first kind of like – trip away from us, basically. It was a little school trip out to Big Bear to this institute where they take him outdoors and hiking and show him stuff, and they do some science experiments and they do all this stuff. But they left at 6 a.m. on Monday morning, and they get home this afternoon, and we're actually gonna he doesn't actually know that my mom is coming in, so his Grammy is gonna surprise him, whatever. But my wife has been an absolute mess the last 48 hours. Is if any parent can think to those days of the first time your kid is going away, like literally as the bus was pulling off, she was like tearing just up, and man, and then that made me cry because she's crying, and I'm like, hey, stop it, you know what I mean?
Funny. I did see some pics, and you did look a little red around the eyes a little bit.
Definitely.
Were they gonna catch up to old Tito Ortiz? Is he still out there? Big Bear?
I think he's up in Big Bear.
Did Ferguson train out there for one?
Ferguson trained out there.
It's kind of talking about Big Bear.
It's a great place
to
go.
It's funny.
Train.
I hear Big Bear, and I immediately just think Tito Ortiz.
Tito Ortiz, yeah.
Is he even out around that area?
No, I think he moved out to Florida now.
Is that where he's at? Oh, that makes makes plenty of sense. That makes plenty sense. He's like, let me get the hell out of Big Bear.
He would just go train up in Big Bear. I don't think he actually lived there. I think he lived in SoCal for a long time and then would go train in Big Bear. Go
Same
get
difference.
Up in
he
elevation.
Just wanted to get out of Cali. He's like, I got to get out of here.
Yes, I think he's
like,
I think
what state makes sense?
I think he's a Florida guy now, if I recall properly, which, yes, you're right. It does make perfect sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
All right, so busy week for me personally. Obviously, we'll talk about the UFC that's coming up this weekend. Neither you or I made the trip out to Charlotte. We're
so weird.
Hanging back,
The MMA road show, and nobody's on the road.
Nobody's on the road, but I got
Junkie's
plenty of
– not even on the road. We have absolutely nobody there.
Nobody out there at Charlotte? That's interesting.
It's crazy. I mean, let's be fair. I mean, there are some cool fights on this card, and we'll get there, but – overall, I mean, like, if this is just one of those cards, I mean, right after a really cool 288 that we're going to talk about.
It just always feels like a letdown.
Everything. I mean, it's so hard to follow a big card.
It is.
It really, really is.
Well, I got my share of travel last week, so I'm okay staying home this week. We did Denver. Got to see my first one championship weigh-in, and I just wanted to share with everybody that it weirded me out being 3 feet away from everybody's pee. Way more than I thought it was.
That dude just dips it. I can't not like look at him. Just watch him just so casually like he's basting, like he's just sticking the shit in there and just casually just wipes it off. And I'm just like, that's it. That's you just a quick little wipe off, and then you're gonna stick it into somebody else's pee.
I had seen their weigh-ins on streams because they stream all of them now, right? Because and shout out to them. Look, I know a lot of people like to talk about one. This is my first time really spending a week around like their operations and seeing them like Man, they have the best intentions in mind. Like, they are all doing this for the right reasons. They got this family feel there. They're proud of their product. They're trying to do things the right way. And, in fact, one of the reasons they started streaming was because people were complaining that there was a lack of transparency in their weighing process. And they're like, you know what? We'll just set up a stream and we'll show it to you, right?
We'll set the pee table square in front. So, it's so interesting. They come out and then the fighters just have to stare and watch them stick something into their pee.
Well, and that's what's – so I had seen this process happen on a stream. Like, you know, but you're watching a video stream. You're like, okay, cool. I applaud them for the transparency. Yeah. So I'm there for it this past week in Denver. And I just, you know, grab my seat and I go in there and I got
Did
my
you
gear
sit way
and everything.
Up close in the front?
Well, yeah, it wasn't like a massive conference room. It was like a meeting room or whatever. But, you know, they had their in stage set up and they had their own camera gear and their production people and all that. And so there was, you know, I just kind of grabbed a seat. But yeah, I was 3 or 4 feet away or whatever.
Close enough you could smell the pee.
I mean, I felt like I could. It felt a little more weird than I thought it was. Shout out to Demetrius Johnson who got the joke as well.
He
like
was pretty
I mean, he's like, that's from my distillery, you know. Like I put that, and I sent that tweet out, and I was like, I wonder if people realize that was his actual quote. Like he literally did just kind of like, that's from my distillery there as they were sampling it. But it weirded me out a little bit, being more than I thought it would. Of seeing everybody's urine samples in there.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, we're all adults and it's not supposed to be weird. And it's just, you know, the other thing that weirded me out though is how quickly you become like a urine expert when like they come in and you're like, that's far too yellow. Like, there's no way that's gonna.
But there was some. There was some that were quite yellow.
Yeah,
I had to actually look online to see what the range was, and because they call some numbers and I couldn't quite hear my, and I'd say, wait, did he say that was out of range? Did he say that didn't qualify?
Right.
Because you hear some that were like 0.2 and then some that were much higher than that, but they could go all the way up to like 1 point something, I think,
right.
1.0 something or whatever. But I was just like, what is this range? You know, tell me, I remember looking at the clock. They had that countdown clock.
Yep.
And I swear at one point it had a number over 2 hours.
It did.
So how long is
it's
the
2 hours
window?
It was when they just had it set up before they started. I don't know why, if it was just an accident or whatever, but it was actually set up at 3 hours.
Yeah.
But right before the window started, he changed it to 2. So if you saw you saw it set up, it did say 3 hours. But no, it's 2 hours. They start the clock. The clock stays there right in front of anybody. And then once it's over, it's over. And everybody, people come in.
I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is a long time to just.
Yeah, no, it's just 2 hours.
Watching people just.
Watching
test
just
pee.
People.
Test their pee.
It's weird. It's weird. But I applaud it. You know what, man? You know, like I said, our good friend Alex Davis, man, he loves the system. Like, he is one of the biggest proponents of the system.
Yeah.
He believes in it. And you know Alex's motivations, man. He just wants to see a good sport. You know what I mean? Like,
dude
is one of the most straightforward, honest dudes, and he believes this is the way to do it. And, you know, people have tried to shoot holes in it, but I just applaud them for trying something new. You know what I mean? Like, at least they're trying. And so to watch it firsthand, like I said, being around those guys this week, it was actually really cool to see the team that they have and kind of, like I said, they all feel like they're a family working together and their motivation is sound. And
They keep you up to date, too. Like, that dude was like, when he'd say the thing and he'd say, you know, so-and-so fighters are still waiting to go, so-and-so has to come back and retest, blah, blah, blah. So I always felt like I was up to date on like what needed to still sort of happen, so I applaud him on that as well.
The only thing I don't get is and this is one that did stand out to me, is like, if somebody comes in and they're overweight and they're also dehydrated, right, like they're outside of the allowable range, why are they given a second time? Like, the whole thing is we're trying to stop weight cutting,
right?
What are they doing? You know what I mean? So that part's a little bit weird to me. And I'm not saying it should. Like, I don't know. It's just weird to me. Like, okay, the goal is we're going to stop weight cutting. But somebody comes in and they're heavy and they're also over in dehydration. Like, what are we letting them go do? Like, how can you lose weight and add water? Like, there's just no way. I mean, unless, not to get too weird, but unless I guess there's a solid waste removal opportunity. I mean, you know, something along those lines. So that was the part that struck me as weird, is like, how do you rationalize that? Now, again, I'm not saying, again, I applaud them for trying something, but it stood out to me as like, well, what do you think they're doing in the meantime, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. Every time I kept seeing in my head was like, couldn't they have like disposable tips for the thing or something? I was like, oh boy, he's just quickly wiping off.
Shout out to that dude.
And then he's sticking it back in, and I was just like, but he was just so casually, as like if I was just testing the temperature of my soup in front of me, he was just casually sticking it in, and he just wipes it off, and then emotion, nothing
none at
on
all.
His face.
No,
he just holds it up.
That dude is,
you know, says it, whatever.
He'll show you the number on the thing, and he'll just dip it into another cup of pee. Yeah, that dude is a stud. It did make me wonder too.
Enough pee for 3 hours. Just solid. Just smelling different dudes' pees.
Just go show me your pee. It did make me wonder too. I didn't pay
but
attention.
He's probably getting paid bank to do it, and he's like, bro,
I don't care, bring
I
me
don't
all the
even
pee
care
eat all the asparagus you want, it's all good, like I'm good.
So it's funny, because I had this this was the random discussion, I'm sure we probably talked about it or whatever. I know when you have asparagus, you could always smell your own.
Of course.
Do you smell the asparagus in the dudes next to you?
I'm sure.
So if somebody did asparagus, he's probably like, that dude right there is like, oh, he's like, oh, I know what he had today.
Like, was that sauteed or grilled? Or
yes.
So ridiculous.
He knows the nuances. Grilled, yeah. Grilled. Maybe even a hint of garlic on it, I think.
Oh, that's so ridiculous. But it did. But I'll tell you the one thing that stood out to me, and I didn't pay attention to what they did afterwards, and I should have. I think I was like busy filing and wasn't looking. Do they just leave all that pee? Like, is there somebody coming to clean that conference room later? Like, is there just some regular hotel staff employee that's like,
which would be crazy.
The hell is this?
Because, I mean,
they have to get rid of it, right? They have
to
dispose of it.
They have to properly dispose of that.
It must be, right? Because that's like a biohazard, right? They have
for
to.
For sure.
All right. I'm going to give them credit.
I certainly didn't see it. But you would hope that they're just not like, hey, house cleaning.
The next time I interview Shatri, I'll be like, hey, Shatri, important question here. What do you do with all that urine? Like, how do you handle
it? It's a party. What if the old boy's like, he volunteers. He's like, I'll remove it.
He's like a weird dude. Like, bro, I'll handle it. No, idiot.
I got it, bro. I've been sticking this fucking thing in it for the last 2 hours. I'll just take it with me.
Like, everybody's like, where does he dispose it? No one knows.
No one knows. They said they saw him over at the Machida camp shortly after.
So ridiculous. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, that was fun to see. It weirded me out more than I thought it would. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I did have this picture of, like, a hotel employee just walking in there, and there's, like, a bucket full of pee.
What is all these little plastic containers?
But shout out to them. The event was great. It seemed like a big success.
Yeah, there were some great fights.
Some fun fights. Yeah. You know, the main event maybe wasn't as exciting as I wished it would have been, but the rest of the card was solid.
But there was always that moment where, you know, you're like, you felt like something could happen.
Adriana is so much bigger than Demetrius.
Oh, my. He's huge.
It's crazy.
He's huge. But, I mean, that's what's so cool about what DJ is able to do. You know, in fact, the Junkie sent to, you know, sort of celebrate the whole 30th year of the UFC. We're putting together our 30 top UFC fighters or whatever. And it's just, you know, DJ, I know for me, I put him, I forget where I had him, at maybe number four.
Wow.
Number five, something like that. But I still have him in high regards. I still have him way up there.
He's got to be in the GOAT conversation, right? Yeah, like, I know everybody leans different ways, but to me, if you're having a GOAT conversation, John Jones has to be in it. Anderson Silva, to me, has to be in it. And I know there's that thing of, like, he hung on a little bit too long, so what do those losses do? But he has to be in there. GSP obviously has to be in there. And I think Demetrius has to be in there. Like, if you're having a GOAT discussion, I feel like those names have to be in there.
Yeah. But, I mean, just watching what he did was just another case of how just impressive that dude is. He gave up so much size, but just his intelligence, his technique, everything that he's able to do, it just looked night and day different. Like, the first fight was almost like a fluke how it sort of happened. The second fight, he was very dominating, got his finish, but it was still a lot of back and forth sort of action. It was still like you felt like Adriano could have something. There was always going to be something. This one, I still felt like there was that chance, but just DJ was just so on. It was just such a perfectly fought fight. And I can see where somebody might be like, oh, man, it was very one-sided or just wasn't that exciting. That's just because DJ made it look so good that every time there was a moment of something sort of happened, he just negated it. His head movement. I mean,
I just Raj
thought just got – he got you could tell towards the end he was getting frustrated because he just – he tried to hit DJ. DJ wasn't there for it. You know, he tried to throw a knee. DJ, he moved out of the way. It was just fantastic.
That's what I felt. It's just Marias just struggled to get anything going, get anything doing, you know. So,
but, I mean, that was still fun to watch. I mean, I think if anybody appreciates high-level martial arts, when somebody's able to take another guy that is so dangerous, that is legit championship-level fighter, and make him look like they're having a bad day, even though it was just – because you're just that good.
Just that good.
It was just fantastic. I mean, I thought DJ, it was just
great performance.
Amazing. And that would have been perfect and fine for him to kind of leave at that moment. But I thought it was interesting there at that moment, at the very end, too. You know, and people are like, you know, is that going to be it? And you could see in his head, he's like, damn, I'm still really good at this. You know, he's looking over at his family. And it wasn't like his family was stressed out. His boys were having a good time.
Yeah.
Looking at it, you know, his wife looked very proud and happy and just seeing she was taking it all in. I don't think they're ready to walk away from all that either.
I got that feeling. So I actually talked to him yesterday, and he said that he hasn't started having the conversations yet. He said, like, he got home, and it was, you know, right back to the family grind, and, like, his kid was out of school, and so there was, you know, he hasn't really had a chance to sit down and decompress and talk with his wife yet. So he's like, the conversations haven't even started. And I did ask him if there was, like, a date that, you know, he wants to put on. He's like, not really, because, honestly, I usually probably only fight about twice a year anyway. Yeah. One doesn't have everything lined up for me. So, you know, in the fall, they'll have some lined up. So probably, you know, in the next couple months, I need to make a decision, but he's not putting a time frame on it. But you could tell, he even said, he's like, even if I don't compete in MMA anymore, he's like, I'll find a way to keep competing. He's like, I still have that drive, but he has other financial opportunities outside of competing that are there for him. But I want to see him keep competing, man. I do. Yeah. He's still performing at such a high level. I'd love to see him keep fighting.
Boy, I forget the gentleman's name that they brought in to face off with him at the end. That dude was huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Khairat Akhmatov is like 30-2.
It's ridiculous. Don't take that fight. Don't take that fight. They're literally trying to bring somebody in just to kill the legend. You know? Just like, don't take that fight.
Yeah.
They'll take that fight.
We'll see what they end up doing. I'd like to see him compete. But anyway, big debut show for ONE Championship on U.S. soil. If you didn't see it, you can still catch the replay on Amazon Prime Video. It was, I thought it was a fun show, man. It was a lot of good finishes, yeah. A lot of exciting moments.
And the product, it's a quality product. Broadcast, I had no hiccups on my shit.
Stream is smooth.
Every time I still hear people complain about ESPN always having some sort of issue happening. Even some of the other guys from Junkie on the 288, the ESPN Plus and ESPN crashed on.
Can't buy it.
You know, like the Prime Video, man. It was smooth. And this is not an advertising.
No,
but it was solid.
It's just smooth. Yeah. And I love the fact that like when you go in there and their shows are live, like it is the first thing you see. Yeah. Like you don't even have to look for it.
All you do is sometimes what I have to do on my Roku is I have to go to live TV.
Okay.
So I'll go to the live ones because sometimes it'll default to like movies.
Interesting.
And stuff like that.
So I use Apple TV, and when I pull up Apple TV, like
it's the first thing you see.
It's the first thing that pops up.
Yeah, I have to go into the live section at least. When I was looking for it in advance,
yep.
But I think maybe after it gets going and maybe it pops up a little bit more on the screen. But initially, if I'm going in the app, I just know in my head, if I'm wanting to see something live, I have to go to the live section.
Yeah.
If not, it wants to default to all my anime.
But then it's right there. All your anime.
And then it's right
That's
there.
What you're watching most of in there. Maybe the manga. The only thing I really
Netflix,
watch on there
is ridiculous.
Just anime.
Yeah, that and now Korean dramas. Like, because I've watched a couple, so now it's like everything is funny. My buddy was in town. I was like, do you get all this like thing? She's like, no, I don't. I was like, okay, then it's obviously just me. Netflix is catering, and he thinks all I want is Korean rom-com dramas.
That's hilarious. I know during the pandemic, I watched a couple of like murder mysteries or whatever, yeah. You know, because like we had nothing to do for a while, right? And then one day, like I logged into Netflix, it was nothing but like murderers and stuff. I was like, I need to stop watching this stuff because my Netflix is awfully dark right now.
Yeah, my algorithm is completely messed up right now. They're like, this guy has fully embraced his Asian
side. Like, Korean rom-coms, dude. It's like, so what are you watching, dude?
They are so ridiculous.
But the other thing I like about the Amazon streaming is that, like, when those ONE events are on, when you log in, it gives you the option. Do you want to watch live or you want to watch from the beginning?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
even with, like, Fight Pass, if you tune in live and you want to watch from the beginning, you have to, like, try to scroll back or whatever. It's kind of a pain in the ass. It doesn't work. Yeah. So I like the thing that you can do well. So you're right, man. They got a quality product and, you know, Chatreed said during the week that they're working on expanding the partnership, so I hope that means more
That's
dates.
Awesome.
Hope it means more U.S. dates because I saw a lot of people criticizing the grappling stuff of it. I know I'm a bit of more of a grappling fan than most, but I like the fact that it's in there. I saw a lot of people saying, oh, this is dumb. Get rid of the grappling. I like it, but I think it's a good product.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, when there's so many products out there that everyone's complaining and just expect the same thing, it's good that there's some
variety.
Some variety.
Yep.
There's some variety.
I did not see UFC 288. Well, I did see it live. I saw it. I did not see the prelims live because I went out to Nova Scotia for the first time and called Fight League Atlantic with my buddy Chris Kalaitis out there. We had a good show.
I got to get that shit on some broadband. Like,
I know I want to see
it. I was like, where can I see this? I was like, that's right. I can't see it.
It's pay-per-view only right now, but that's what they're working on right now is some more distribution and some things like that. So hopefully we'll be able to see, because there's some quality products, man. It's a bunch of these young Canadian guys that didn't have anywhere to compete for a while because they shut down during the pandemic. So like you had guys that were just training, you know, because there was nowhere for them to fight and were getting ready. And so now they're at a real high level at amateur and pro and they're scrapping. I think especially, again, it's my first time I really started going out there to the East Coast, but, you know, it's remote out there. It's, you know, they're doing hard labor as they're growing up and stuff, and it's cold as shit half the year or more than half the year. You know what I mean? Like, they're just some tough dudes up there that are going and throwing down. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time. But came back and watched UFC 288. Obviously, broke it all down and gave my thoughts on the half episode over at patreon.com/TMAroadshow. But I haven't seen you because I didn't get to see you last week. So I'm just curious, you know, I wanted to get your thoughts on the main event because, you know, night of, I thought it was a pretty clear Aljamain Sterling victory. There were some very, very close rounds. I mean, I thought it was very, very close rounds. You know, seeing a lot of people that feel like maybe, you know, it was a decision that went the wrong way and it should have gone Cejudo's way. I didn't feel that way on watching it, but I want to get your thoughts if you felt it was a Sterling win or you thought Cejudo got robbed or what were your thoughts?
I thought it was a Sterling win.
Yeah,
like,
I did too.
Honestly, at the end of the night and even like the days following when so many people were like, oh, I gave Henry this. I was like, I mean, I thought Henry was present. I thought it was
absolutely
good in those rounds, but I thought clearly – in my mind, I was like, yeah, this is Aljo all day. I mean, maybe not like four rounds. I gave him at least three rounds.
Right.
But I was like, okay, yeah, Aljo did it. Even if I went in 4-4 or two rounds and two rounds going in the last round, I thought Aljo did enough even in the last one. I was just like, okay, I'm good.
Right.
Good. But I think even if I had to like score the fight, you know, based upon like the whole overall fight, I felt like Aljo did more. You know,
yeah.
I mean, Henry, while he was trying to, you know, maybe come forward and do some other stuff, he just wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
You know.
I thought Henry did look competitive. Like, I definitely want to see Henry compete again. Like, I love the fact that it sounds like he's already changed his tune. You know, that night he was kind of like, I don't know, I'm not sure if I want to do this. And I thought he might walk away because if he's not getting an immediate title shot, why would he do it? But it sounds like maybe he's willing to fight Merab, and which would, you know, make a ton of sense because that's the number one contender fight.
Number one contender.
Which I love, but I like Henry.
And that's part of Merab's problem right now. I mean, he's stuck in limbo. So, like, if you're not going to fight Aljo, the very best possible fight for him to take outside of like fighting Sean O'Malley for that jacket is fighting Henry Cejudo. I thought that was so hilarious too.
And in fairness, like Sean handed him the jacket.
Yeah,
like he didn't mean
he
to.
Wasn't
he wasn't paying attention.
Wasn't paying attention.
So it's not like he stole it for some. Because if he stole it for like if Merab like ripped it out of somebody's hands and put it on, maybe like bro,
but
that's kind of
who did you think you were handing it off to?
I know.
You walked into a cage
security
by
thief?
Yourself, and you thought you were handing it to maybe like a security guy or
right.
something. You know, he reached out to the guy that was like, yeah, reaching his hand
out.
The
look on Merab's face is so funny, dude. We're just like,
yeah, he was the kid in the candy store. But it's funny, like as soon as that was happening, I was like, somebody please ask Dana if he fucking thought this was a dumb idea. I was like, this is getting crazy out of hand. I just didn't like it at the time at all. And then seeing Dana was, you know, even the press was like, yeah, that was not one of my best ideals or whatever. I mean, like, it's just, you run the risk of something popping off, especially the way that Sean walked in, kind of brushed up against Aljo.
Yeah.
It immediately could have got bad right off the bat. And then
it's twofold for me. Number one is the security concern, like where stuff happens. Because, dude, if they start breaking out into a fight in the cage, like, that's just such a terrible look.
Yeah.
Now, at the end of the day, I mean, it's not like the sport. It's not like UFC is going to go away because they have an in-cage brawl or whatever, you know. But it still just looks trashy, you know what
right.
I mean? Like, it's not good. Plus, somebody can get hurt, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's bad. But the other thing is, too, is
Last thing you want is a solo Sean O'Malley in a cage fighting against Aljo's team.
The whole team, yeah.
Like, it was crazy stupid. It was crazy.
It's not good. And then maybe security accidentally hurt somebody because they're trying to pull people away. It's just not good. So, you're right. I don't like that. And the other thing I don't like about it, too, is it's just a little bit unfair to the champion, no matter who that champion is.
Yeah.
Like, champion just put in a full training camp. Champion just went through a 25-minute war. Like, let the champ breathe for a second.
Yeah.
Like, I totally get calling it out and being like, hey, man, you're next, buddy. But, like, you don't have to bring him in and make him confront and microphone yelling back and forth.
Some people try saying, like, oh, well, he asked for it. I was like, no, that was already scripted that they were going to bring him in. He was waiting outside the thing. But I thought the same thing when they did that to DJ. They brought a guy, and I was like, come on. DJ was possibly going to be his last fight, and you're bringing somebody in already. I'm like, hey,
I thought so,
what
too.
Do you think about this? I was like,
when I talked to him, he said he didn't care because he's like, it looked like, but it looked at the time like he was kind of annoyed. He was
really annoyed.
I don't know if I'm going to compete again or not, but we'll talk to the family and they bring somebody in. And he's like, didn't you just hear me?
Yeah.
I know, in his head, you know, I'm sure he's like, come on, dog. Didn't you
and
just hear me?
And it was a nice little face off.
Yeah.
Like, that when they squared up, I was like, DJ got like serious there.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so weird. He just fought. Like, what is going on? There's just something. I don't know. In the past, I've liked it. And maybe it's just when it's like something big like this. Like, the guy's just won a belt.
Yeah.
Like, he's fighting for the belt. Like, don't just bring in some other guy like you're just randomly doing. I get it. If it's a title contender bout and the champion happens to be sitting and the champ wants to come in, you bring the champ in front of him. I get that. Like, when Bellator sometime, I think.
Right.
They'll
do like, in a Grand Prix bout when it's already determined.
Sense,
like, you know exactly.
You know what's going on and that's the next logical step. But, like, if somebody just defended a belt, you know. Why already try to plan ahead? Because, you know, they brought up, we talked about on Spinning Back, like, you're kind of, one, locking yourself into a fight.
Right.
What if something happens? And then everybody's like, well, but you just sit in the cage, this. But it's just out of respect. The guy just fought. They might be slightly concussed. And you're trying to set up a promo inside the cage, and bad shit can just happen.
Can,
and it's just like,
can I have a sip of water, please, first?
Like, it's like, I mean, I just don't like and it's funny, like, I like WWE in some instances and other stuff, but, like, it feels like it just cheapens it at the very end of what we just watch people fight at the highest level, and then all of a sudden you want to try to do a stupid little promo. And it's like, I get it. I don't fault them. I just don't like it.
I don't either.
I understand why they're doing it. I personally would rather not see it.
I'm glad Dane admitted, like, hey, that probably wasn't his best idea to do that. I'm glad he admitted that.
And it's like,
Do it over and over. They
said
keep
it
doing
before.
It.
It's like, well, then why do you keep doing it?
It's true.
Why do you keep doing it? You know, it's just.
Well, we've never done this before.
Yeah. this has been my worst idea since the last time I did this one. You know, it's like, come on, man.
Maybe it just depends on the personalities or whether it's a good idea or not. But yeah,
I think they probably realize that Aljo can keep his shit together, and I think they realize that O'Malley, while they got in each other's faces, neither one of them got, like, touchy, pushy, whatever. Like, Steph's got weird with the coat at the very end. That was very different. But when they initially came in, I think he understood, like, okay, they're both not going to do something that's going to ruin the possibility of a fight and make money.
Right.
But, you know, if you get, like, say it was Nate Diaz finishing a fight and then you bring somebody else in, you run the risk that somebody's going to get slapped, you know?
Yeah. Just,
I think you have the right players to do it, but still, at that point, it's like, is it really worth it for that awkwardness?
I agree.
Because then we're going to bring it up in the post fight, and what's Dan going to say? Guys, can we not talk about this right now? We can just talk about the fighters.
So
can we
true.
Not talk about what's actually happening? I was like, well, you set that up.
So true. I tell you, the other thing that was so telling from Dana the other night was when somebody asked him about Merab, and Dana was like, he could have that fight tomorrow if he wanted. Yeah. Like, you could tell he was like annoyed that they won't fight each other.
With him. Yeah. They're very, very frustrated. I get it. I mean, I get it. But he said it before. He's like, if Merab's happy sitting on the sideline and not and possibly missing out on the biggest thing that could be for his life and his career, he's like, that's his choice. But they're going to throw killers at him, and
so
all
true.
It's going to do is work. It's going to run the risk of him losing that spot. Now, granted, fighting Henry, how far do you fall? The guy's that, you know, was going for the quadruple championship or whatever. And I mean, he's still
not
Henry
far.
Cejudo,
like if you came up short,
he's not going to fall far.
You're like, so what, number two contender at that point, three at
he's
worst.
He's still right there at the top, you know. And it's like, and then luckily with that, there's that caveat of that it's still his teammate that has the belt. It'd be one thing to fight Henry, Henry and lose, and say Aljo didn't have that belt. Then it's like, oh shit, now I got to fall down. And then you got to earn the pecking order because there might already be someone that has heat that has that possibility. He knows even if he fights Henry, that top position, that it's still his boy. Still his boy. You know, he just wants to stay gravitating sort of underneath that. But still, fighting anybody's a risk. But at least with Henry, that's a big payday for him.
It's a good matchup. You know, I think that's the fight to make. You know? I think that's the fight to make. And that way, Merab can still have a fight in the meantime while they're having this other fight.
It's a winnable fight.
It's a winnable fight.
It's a winnable fight for him.
Not easy, but it's winnable. I mean, and they have the blueprint now. I mean, just went. And I've said all along.
On the striking, though, I mean, like, Merab's striking is not Aljo's striking.
True. There's a big difference there.
You know, but I mean, when it comes to cardio, when it comes to pace, when it comes to all this other stuff, but he's going to be playing into Henry's strengths with what Merab does. You know,
true.
So I mean, that's tough. That's tough. I mean, Henry and his skill set negates a lot of what Merab's strengths are against a lot of other ones. Merab likes to grab you, just sort of maul you, pick you down, and do his thing. Are you going to be able to do that against Henry?
I know.
I don't think so.
And now, you know, Aljamain
going to need striking, and Henry actually has some pretty good
hands. Henry has
good
really
hands.
Good striking, really good hands. Aljamain had all that range on him, which kind of negated the quality of his striking, but Merab won't have that.
Right.
Now, Aljamain admitted he faded a bit in the fifth round. Merab's not going to fade in the fifth round. He's never going to fade, but the wrestling would be fun to watch. The striking, you'd have to give Cejudo the advantage, but, I mean, the relentless nature of Merab. I love the fight. I think that's definitely fighting. But I do want to say one thing. I know Dana's frustrated. I actually respect the hell out of Merab and Aljamain for having that relationship and saying, look, we're more than just training partners. I get frustrated, too, with guys that are like, we train together twice a week, so I don't really want to. But, like, these dudes are like brothers, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I applaud them for sticking to their guns, you know what I mean? But I think that's the fight to make.
We've seen camps tear themselves up before.
Yes, we have.
You know, you look at Alpha Male and what happened to that whole gym. Like, they literally, that sort of key players that used to train together and then all of a sudden were just absolute enemies, you know?
Yep.
But, I mean, it is kind of neat. It is neat to see that sort of thing, but, you know, this is a sport where your time at the top is kind of limited by if your body's good and things are good, sure, yeah, you got years in this thing. But if your body starts going out, don't you want to try to do your thing? But maybe they're happy enough with that. If he's smart with his money, maybe he doesn't need those crazy, crazy champ pays, you know? And maybe that legacy of being, best friends is enough. But when you're 80 years old and you guys are looking back on the thing, you know, you guys are going to be sitting at your barbecue and then he's going to be like, you know, Aljo, I could have took you. And Aljo's like, shut up. We never actually got to have that one, you know. I mean,
that's so funny.
And at some point, you know, you'd think that maybe just even for sport. But I'm sure they get enough of that even when they just train. They probably know their little things. But there is something cool about the fact that, you know, they want to – you know, boys before, I don't know, bushels of money. What's what, bros before hoes? What is it when boys before boys before? What's a good phrase? Let's come up with a phrase. Boys before
toys. You know, because you use your cash to buy toys, you know? I don't know.
I see what you did there. And kind of, yeah.
Bro before dough.
Ooh, that's better. I like that. I like that better, bro. Bro before dough. I like that. But that's a tough one. But, yeah, it is kind of neat that they're trying to do that thing. You know, it'd be funny if they had a little weird spat someday just on some random thing. Maybe takes his food one day and he gets real pissed off. And he's like, Dana, let's do this. He stole my lunch. Let's do this.
Oh, man. Too funny. I was real quick, the last thing I want to say on 288, I was a little bit surprised when the rankings came out that Bilal Muhammad, I had him at number two. I moved him up to number two in the welterweight division.
I didn't even see where he landed.
He's still three behind Colby Covington. Interesting. Yeah, Colby Covington stayed in front of him. You know, I look at my
That's
ranks.
Just because they got to be taken in the fact that he's the next in line, so somebody's giving him.
They must. Usman is at number one, obviously, is the former champ, still at number one. I actually moved Bilal to number two. I mean, you look at, you know, I always have my little spreadsheet that I use for my rankings, but his wins over in the last 3 years, Gilbert Burns, Sean Brady, Vicente Luque, Stephen Thompson, Damian Maia, the no contest with Edwards, Diego Lima, the lineman good. Now, obviously, you know, you go back a long way, and, you know, Maya's gone at this point, Lima and good. But, I mean, you're looking at, you know, Wonder Boy, who's still ranked, Luque, who's still ranked, Brady, who's still ranked, and Burns, who's still ranked, and all, you know, kind of highly in the division. He has wins over all of them, whereas Covington has the win over Masvidal, who's retired, the loss to Usman, and the win over Woodley, who's retired. So I just don't, you know, again, I always hate to talk about this particular individual because it feels like it may be tinted with personal feelings, but
yes,
it's
certainly
not tinted with personal feelings. I just feel like Bilal should be number two behind Usman right now.
It was a performance. And then we hear after the fact he did it on a sprained ankle.
Crazy.
I mean, like, Gilbert Burns, granted, I mean, there wasn't a lot of, you know, I guess, crazy lead-up time or whatever, but nobody does that to, like, Gilbert.
No.
Like, nobody goes in there and just makes Gilbert not look like right. Gilbert's been looking, you know?
And I obviously mean, he was hurt, but so was Bilal. Yeah, so mean, they're both
still,
hurt.
Still, I was so impressed by Bilal in that fight. I was like, dude.
It was.
And I picked Burns. And
I did too.
Once it started going, I was like, wow, I really messed up on this
I
one.
I thought Burns was going to win as well.
Dude.
It was heartbreaking for me too because Gilbert's like one. I mean, you knew somebody was going home heartbroken after this, right? So this was one of those ones, like two of the nicest dudes in the sport.
Yeah.
And I hated – I mean, I liked the matchup, but I hated it.
Yeah.
And it was difficult to watch Gilbert's frustrations. Like, you could just see mentally he was like, oh, I can't – you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm so mad that I'm not 100% right now.
Yeah.
So it's hard to see. But, yeah, take nothing away from Bilal, man. He's earned it. And
dude, he's a killer, man. He's a killer. But, yeah, out of the two, I mean, I think – if I had to pick one that I think would take the loss better on the chin, it would be Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bilal would have more, like, sour grapes for some reason or something if he did. But Gilbert, I mean, he's such a good dude, man. I think if there was somebody that's a good representative of just how to carry yourself in this sport, even when he says shit that just comes off wrong, he's quick to make an apology.
I know, right? Who does that?
Dude, he's a gem, man.
Class
he's a
good act.
Dude. And he's just a hell of a fighter, too. So, yeah, I mean, it was hard to not kind of be gutted for him, but – you know, I'm not sad that Bilal won. I mean, because Bilal's a good dude that's been sitting here waiting and waiting and waiting for his shot. And then you put him up against a killer like Burns, and he just – I don't want to say manhandled him, but, man, he just pieced him up, man. It was fantastic. It was a great performance.
It really was.
It was a great performance.
All right, you mentioned Nate Diaz earlier.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about this press conference thing because I am – now, I know since the whole – clip came out, you know, everybody's figured out, okay, this was probably a work, you know, Jake was probably in on this with this reporter saying that he would kick Nick Diaz's ass and he should fight.
So stupid.
I just
then you see his apology and then he just kind of doubled down at the very end.
Yeah, yeah,
hey
yeah.
Drake or hey blah blah blah.
And listen, I know we're feeding into exactly what this guy wants right now because we're talking about him and we're giving attention, but I just wish this phase of MMA journalism or whatever would
well,
go away.
It's not journalism. I mean,
it's not journalism. Exactly
for,
right.
If he works for one of the promoters or whatever, he works if his media outlet is part of Jake or whatever.
Yeah.
That's not a journalist.
I think you said it before, and I think it was you, if I remember, that said before, and I think it's such a good idea. Like, there is a place for these characters and this content or whatever, but, like, go do it, like, behind the scenes or something. You know what I mean? Like, when you're having your public-facing press conference, you're, like –
have the actual credentialed media in there that are doing their job. And again, I'm not trying to play some high and mighty, let me tell you about quality MMA journalism, right? Like, I'm not. I'm just saying that, like, that kind of stuff seems out of place to me. Like, I get it. Maybe there's a place for it where people do crazy. I mean, that seems to be the thing now, right? Is let's do something crazy and let's do something shocking or whatever. But yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's another place for that to be done.
Yeah. But even that, like, once I heard that he kind of, like, worked for him, I don't even chalk him up as, like, an actual media guy.
Right.
So it didn't feel to me like it was like, oh, man, this media guy just – really try to call his shot, you know, and did this thing. It just felt to me like it was part of a state, you know, a stooge just doing his thing because he was like, and nobody does that if he's part of Jake's thing without clearing that. I mean, even the way when he first started talking, Jake laughs about it.
That's right.
The only time he actually even said something at the very end, it didn't even feel sincere when he was like,
shut up. Fire
him. I'm going to take care of this, you know, quiet. He had Derek or Daniel, whatever. I mean,
he 100% knew that was coming.
Yeah, I mean, had to. So it was just silly because if it was sincere and he was really trying to fire him, the kid wouldn't have doubled down
right
again and like tried to call out Drake or whatever. You know, it was just that point there where I was like, man, if it was actually open to the public, the kid would have got fucking smashed. I think as that day went there, you know, later on in the day. Now, still at this point, if the guy is trying to act like media, I hope media or somebody there still smashes the kid or something. You know, because if he's going to go on and really try to be like a fighter and he's calling out whoever and says, if anybody wants to step up, step up. I'm hoping somebody just steps up and just slaps the kid. He looks like a little bitch. He's way outside of my weight class, so I can't do anything.
But if he throws a lazy leg kick, I'm just telling you right now.
I don't know if you saw, I hopped on, like, I mean, like, Oscar said something like the kid was a loser. So I was like, yo, Fight Circus. How about some media action? And Fight Circus was like, I can make this happen.
Okay.
Oscar didn't reply. I was like, Oscar, let's make this shit happen.
He's been trying to have a fight with Fight Circus, right? He wants to
do
something.
What's funny, because I remember because, all right, so if I had to pick my media, I'll just pick two. Well, obviously, just look at my two buddies. There's Oscar I know is willing to jump in. And then, like, Casey. Casey even said something. I was like, Casey would fucking smash this kid. Because Oscar even told me that when him and Casey sparred, like, Casey was really tight. Like, all Casey does now is train.
That's, like, all he does,
I was
yeah.
like, you don't want to fight that media guy. I was like, but Oscar, who hasn't trained in a while, I'd still love to see Oscar piece this kid up. You know, but there's other media I know that have trained too. I'm like, if the kid wants to really do some shit, like, yo, Fight Circus, make some shit happen. You know, like, throw him on something else. Like, if the kid just wants to be seen, a fight can happen. Trying to put it on this card, like, come on now. Like, that's a little obscene.
Yeah.
No, some no name is, and you're certainly not going to fight Drake or somebody else kid with that nobody knows exists. Like, but if you want to fight another media, then maybe start building your name up. Maybe something will happen, you know? Maybe that little Robbie Barstool kid.
Right.
Enough people know that kid. I bet he could get on an undercard because people consider him like a little personality or something like
right.
that. If the kid was at maybe his level, then I could see a call out working where somebody's like, hey, let's make shit happen. That kid actually has a platform. I don't even know what the fuck Better Media is or whatever that is.
I'd ever heard of it.
I know. I was like.
Which, that means the dude. And here's the whole thing. Mission accomplished. Now they got their name out there.
Well,
this kid
Better
got
Media.
His name out
there. I
don't
there. Remember his fucking name. Derek? True. Daniel? Something true. Like that? Something with the D? Yeah, he's going to take the D from somebody.
All right. The UFC this weekend is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Like I said, we will be watching from home. I like the early start time. We're actually going to get early, I think. First fight here is 8:30 a.m. Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So it's a day card. I actually ended up getting tickets to go see the Las Vegas Lights this Saturday and go catch a soccer game. It's early enough in the day.
They'll be putting you on their social media.
Oh yeah,
too.
Bro.
It's so funny. They're like, John Morgan's in the house. I'm like, this motherfucker.
VIP up in there,
chilling
bro.
In the pool.
Come sit in our kiddie pool, and yeah. Once I found out the game was or the fights were over early, I'm like, book my kiddie pool, bro. I'm going to watch me some soccer on Saturday night.
That's awesome.
But before we go there, we'll get to see Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Jailton Almeida. Shocked to see the odds on this.
How bad is it?
Jailton is -490.
Okay. I thought you were going to say something bigger than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I
agree. I think Jailton is the future.
I mean, I think it's the right pick, but just the way I've been hearing people talking, I wouldn't have been surprised if you said, like, -1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like, people just aren't giving Rozenstruik, like, a shot in this. Like, they think he just got one – I mean, he's obviously got one punch power, but I think a lot of people aren't giving him credit that he can take a punch.
Yeah.
you know. But man, it's just I think it's a tall task in front of him. But I thought that, I thought it was even higher.
Wow.
I thought it was gonna be even higher.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I do favor Jelton in this, and I, you know, I openly said in the beginning, you know, when he went to heavyweight, because he was kind of just taking like short notice fights, and it seemed like he was just taking some heavyweight so he didn't have to cut.
Yeah.
And I assumed he'd go back down to 205, but honestly, man, he looks like he's super comfortable in this division. So
it's the new breed of heavyweights.
Yeah, man.
Like, I mean, I think the days of like the Parker Porters and the guys that are just cutting to get to 265. Not that they're gone,
right?
But like the new heavyweights, it's like this. They're fitter,
sleek,
they're stronger,
and athletic.
Yeah,
and
they're like much more of like a athletic build,
right.
Football type, just huge.
More like an NFL linebacker,
like
versus a lineman. You know,
that's 100%.
Yeah,
exactly 100%. But linemen get fucking big. Linemen are like 300 and some
6'8", 340.
But they're fast too.
It's crazy.
But yeah, no, I think it's just. I mean, it's just a new sign of the times. I mean, I think Francis is one of those cats that I think if people want to look at a specimen of like what a quality heavyweight could look like.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, you know. And then you start looking at some of these other cats, man, and it's just night and day, man. But yeah, he's a specimen. But it's not like Rozenstruik, some just like slob off the other side. I mean,
no.
He's a pretty big dude on his own,
dude,
right?
Dude, and he could land a big shot, but yeah. He's gonna have to stay on his feet to do it. So
yeah,
we'll see how that plays out. That's your main event: Anthony Smith versus Johnny Walker in the co-main event. This one's intriguing to me, and the odds have it as a pick'em as well. And I'll be honest with you, I have a hard time getting a read on either one of
that.
These guys. Some man, it's just. Sometimes I feel like each of them just kind of has some inconsistent performances sometimes. You know what I mean? And
I'm just looking at the odds on that last one. FanDuel has Almeida as a -590.
Wow.
BetMGM -500. But, yeah, Smith and Walker is pretty much a pick 'em. But, I mean, that's a quality fight right there. Where are you leaning initially?
I mean, Johnny Walker's looked good lately.
Yep.
Anthony Smith has the ability, but he's coming off that last result. I think I might lean Johnny Walker a little bit.
I wanted to lean Johnny Walker, and I'll tell you why I leaned Smith. Because the last time I picked against Smith in the post-fight, I'm not there. I guess it didn't matter.
He called you out for it?
He walked in the room, and he's like, where's MMA Junkie at? And he's like, none of y'all picked me. I think a lot of people might be picking Walker, so I was like, I don't want him to have that moment. So I'm gonna jump on the sword for this one, but initially in my head, I think Walker's going to do it. I think he's got more weapons. But I mean, if Anthony gets him on the ground, I think he's going to fucking tap out Johnny. But Anthony he's struggled recently, and as much as I like him, but I'm going to die on my sword for that one, and I'm going to make sure Junkie has a Anthony Smith pick.
I can respect that. I'm a big Anthony Smith fan. You know, I've told the story many times.
Remind me to tell you a story about Brazil.
I've told the story many times of you know, how we met in the airport years and years ago, and just the kind of dude, and he's always been quality and class to me. So
yep.
I will be pulling in my heart for Anthony Smith, and I do every time he goes in there because I love me some Anthony Smith.
When we were down in Brazil, Anthony Smith was there, and it was like the last day when, you know, it's that last day when everybody's just kind of chilling on the beach, waiting to get to the airport.
Because the flights leave at night.
Because they leave at night.
So you got the day.
So we were sitting over there, and we had made different rounds to different cabanas, and finally went to this last one, and Anthony and a couple other people from his team had this table, and I was with Oscar, so they had some open seats, and we're like, oh, join us. So we sat there, and we end up just having drinks, just shooting the shit. And there's many of the, you know, street salesmen's kids, all this stuff that were coming by peddling the wares. And for this particular trip, Mentos was like the thing that all the kids and everybody's like peddling these Mentos. I'm like, who the fuck eats Mentos anymore? But still, it was like, okay, they're doing Mentos. This cute little kid comes up and he's like, obviously he's not speaking English. Nobody at the table was speaking Portuguese. But he was trying to ask if anybody wanted to buy a thing of Mentos. Anthony pulls out a 50 and says, I'll take the whole box.
Wow.
Not 50 Brazilian dollars, which would have been way more than what it to buy the box.
50 U.S.
50 U.S. dollars. And the kid, I think, took him to understand at first because he was like, I'll take the whole thing. And he shows the 50, and I could tell the kid, because he's guaranteed he's never seen a 50 in his life.
A U.S.
was looking
50,
at it.
Right.
He was like, I don't know really what this is. Is this like
– Yeah, somebody trying to hustle me.
Is this not? Is somebody trying to hustle him because he's super, super small. But then I think he started parroting his head, and we were kind of, you know, not that we helped, but we were kind of reiterating to the kid, like, this is good. You want this. Give him the thing. Take this. And then then you could see it register in the kid's mind, and I'm thinking, I was like, Anthony's literally going to, like, make this kid's, like, week, month, whatever, just the sale. As the kid takes the money and he sort of walks off, and then you just see him skipping and he starts hopping and he's hurriedly, you know, trying to get back to his whoever his hand there was to get the money or whatever. And I was literally like, Anthony, you just fucking made that kid's month or whatever. Like, it was huge. But it was like he had the money and it didn't bother him, but he knew what a difference it was going to make. And he was buying fucking Mentos. So he was he's like, all right, who wants some Mentos? Who wants some Mentos? But I thought that was so cool. Just about his – that just it was just another –
instance of him showing his character,
you know, in a place where here I thought I was doing something nice when I bought some glasses, but I actually needed sunglasses. I was like, I'll buy some overpriced sunglasses, you know. Here he is spending $50 on a – like a – there was probably maybe like 20 Mentos packages in there. And I was like, dude.
That's awesome.
But it was really cool. It was really, really cool. And I completely forgot about that until we started talking about Anthony Smith. I was like, dude, I know I have a story recently that I almost forgot about. But, yeah, it was awesome, man. So, yeah, another reason why I'll pull for him.
Absolutely.
For this one, so.
We'll be cheering for him.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. D-Rod versus Ian Machado-Gary. I was a little surprised at the odds on this one, too. Ian Machado-Gary, I'm seeing minus 280.
People are so high on this kid, and I get it.
He's good.
He's good.
He's really good.
He's good. He's been testing in some things and he's pulled things out.
This is a big moment though. To me, like
this is a huge. This is a huge challenge.
Like I understand it's why everybody's high on Ian and believes he's the future, but you got to get to those. Like I always say that it seems like in every career, you know, we see that arc where you've got this upward trajectory, and then inevitably, you know, unless you're Khabib Nurmagomedov, you hit a level and you run into a hurdle or a stumbling block that kind of, you know, tells you where the level is and goes, okay, now I see what I'm going to have to really do to get to the next level. And Ian, to his credit, has always said, hey, you don't have to skyrocket me to the top. Like, I'm a young kid. I got time on my side. Like, I'll take baby steps as I get better and better. You know, I believe I'll be the best in the world, but you don't have to rush me to the top. And obviously, you know, D-Rod is number 15, so it's not like they're giving him number one or number two, but, I mean, Daniel Rodriguez is a proven competitor, and I think this is a highly intriguing fight, and I was just a little bit surprised by the odds, man. And I don't know if that's just, you know, people buying into the hype or that's a true assessment of where people think he stands at this point, because I think he can, but I still want to see it first. So I was a little surprised by this one.
Yeah, I mean, D-Rod has massive power.
Right.
I think if there's anything that he kind of, you know, has had a problem in the past, I think the gas tank, just his fight style, starts to wear out a little bit if a guy's really pushing him.
Mm-hmm.
But his power at least is always there throughout the whole fight. And his toughness. It should be interesting because I think, for me, this is definitely one of those ones where I've always kind of questioned, you know, because there's so much hype coming in with this kid that I was just like, man, are we going to start seeing wrinkles? Are we going to start seeing wrinkles? And he had been challenged a little bit. But he's always sort of pulled through. If he gets through this one and even if he just gets through this one, that definitely will say something. But if he gets through it and he does it something in spectacular fashion, I'll definitely start giving the kid his credit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because.
No, this could be the legit statement.
A real, real dangerous test. I mean, D-Rod is. I've always felt like people aren't giving him enough credit
for,
you know, just his skill set and just how overall tough. This is a guy that nobody's asking for D-Rod, you know. So I don't know, who knows if Ian actually asked for this or they're just like, here, you know, on
you have to fight this guy.
But yeah, if he makes short work, or if he gets through D-Rod, man, people definitely will have to really pay attention. But yeah, not to say I'm surprised by the odds, you know, knowing that, you know, when there's public favor in a cat, money tends to go heavy in that particular way.
There's still public sentiment in lines. No question about it.
So much.
Yeah, and I think this guy's had it. So I'm intrigued by that one. Carlos Olberg versus Ihor Poteria. Olberg a massive favorite in that one as well.
Yeah.
Tim Means versus Alex Morono. That's going to be a fun scrap, bro. I love these back-to-back fights.
Yeah.
And it's a main card fight and a prelim card fight, so they're separated. But if you look at the fact, in back-to-back fights, you're going to get Tim Means versus Alex Morono and Matt Brown versus Court McGee. I mean – come on, man. That's
McGee is the favorite.
That's just wow. Wow, I'm a little bit surprised with that,
I'm
too.
I'm a little surprised. Right now, I'm just – look, BetMGM has Court minus 225, Matt plus 185.
Wow.
I'm kind of surprised by that.
I'm looking forward
to that,
though.
Matt didn't look so great in that last one, and I love that cat, man. It was just something weird, man. I'd watch him train, and everything he was just – everything looked good, and I felt like he didn't pull the trigger as much as he can, and this will be interesting.
It happens. Four old school names there, man. I'm looking forward to those.
That Morono Tim Means, man. I was thinking about that one. I was like, that's going to be a banger,
scrap.
Man. That's so tough because I think I picked Morono in my staff picks. But, man, Dirty Bird,
man. How do you pick against Tim Means?
You can't, man. He's just – he pulled – every time I think when I picked against him, he's pulled it out, and I'm always like, why do you pick against him? And I picked against him, so I probably guaranteed his victory. But Morono, he's a stud, man. He really, really is. Is he – where's he at, Morono? He's not down there with –
He's got his own school in Houston. But then he goes up to Florida.
Safe, right?
Yeah, he goes
up. I thought at times he went up there, and I was like, wait a second.
He's got his own gym in Houston that he runs, and it's cool because he, like, coaches. Like, he goes, like, the kids' jiu-jitsu tournaments and stuff like that.
That's
so he's
awesome.
Got, yeah, so he does all that. But then when he does camp, like, he'll go up to Dallas.
Okay, that's
what
I thought. I was like, man,
Safe.
I was like, I feel like he was with Safe.
Yep.
So that's another one. It's tough to ever go on record against Safe because as soon as he sees you, he lets you hear it. I don't want to do that.
So true. Carl Williams versus Chase Sherman. Cody Stamann versus Douglas Silva de Andrade.
So is that going to happen? Chase Sherman, Carl Williams?
Oh, don't say it. Don't say it. Knock on wood, bro. Knock on wood. Don't do that to him. Natan Levy and Pete Rodriguez, the rescheduled fight. Ji Young Kim versus Mandy Baum could actually be a really fun women's fight. Yep. Brian Battle is back versus Gabe Green. And Jess is back. Jessica Rose Clark, after her knee reconstruction, is back and ready to fight as well. So I think it could be a fun card, and I like the early start time.
Yeah.
I think, you know,
it is a good,
as you said,
it is a card now that you're really kind of looking at it.
But that's what it feels. It's just that it's just so hard, and I almost feel bad for the UFC because, you know, you stack up these pay-per-views, and then the next week it just feels like a little bit of a letdown. And it does, but if you look into it, I think there's some fun fights, and I love the fact that it's on kind of basically during the day. And so, you know, I think if you're, you know, you still get your Saturday night to spend with the family or to go do whatever. So I think that's a good thing. So I think it could be fun.
Who was this a switch up on the main event? Did the main event switch on this one at some point?
Good question.
I'm just wondering, like, bet fight odds, and I'm like trying to look. It has it as UFC Fight Night Smith versus Walker, and I'm like,
maybe just because that was the first fight that was announced for it, and so people assumed that was going to be the main event for
maybe
it.
So.
I believe.
I mean, I get it. You know, this is definitely one of those ones where it feels like they're giving a lot of credence to heavyweights on this one, but it's kind of, I'm a little surprised that the Smith Walker isn't the top bill over those guys.
Maybe that just goes to show you that the UFC believes Jailton Almeida is about ready to be a breakout contender.
That could
you know,
be, that's,
so they want to feature
they
him.
They want to feature him.
Give him that shine.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Unless Jairzinho can play spoiler. Important note, not the only MMA of the weekend, a Friday afternoon card as well with Bellator. They are coming from Paris, France. So because of that, it primetime there, afternoon for us here in the States, Gegard Mousasi versus Fabian Edwards.
Another all-day MMA day.
I love it. Mansour Barnoui and Brent Primus in the Grand Prix quarterfinal matchup there. Douglas Lima, Costella Vanstinas, and Thibaut Guti versus Kane Musa. So a good main card there. Kind of a crossroads for Gegard. I saw Gegard talked with did an interview with Abel Foyez, who was Abs Talks, who's doing some work for us at the UG. And he said, look, man, he sees himself winning this fight, winning the title in a rematch, and then calling it a career, man. So it's a crazy thing. Gegard, who – I think doesn't necessarily get the respect that he deserves just because he didn't fight in the UFC for the majority of his career. You know, a lot of his best days were outside of the UFC, and I think probably doesn't get the respect he deserves against Fabian Edwards, who, you know, going to be forever linked to his brother, of course, Leon Edwards.
You close your eyes when he talks. I mean, like, you literally can hear his brother.
So funny, man. And I always hate, like, grouping, you know, whether it be a couple, like, you know, when it was Paige and Austin and you're linking their careers, or whether it be brothers or whether it be whatever. Because everybody kind of has their own journey. Everybody has their own path. But man, if somehow Fabian could win the title, and that's a tall order, I know he's got some work to do, but I mean, how cool would that be, two brothers in major organizations as titles?
That would be very, very cool.
That would be
awesome.
That's
a tough one. I mean, I think I picked Musasi in this one, but even if he gets that rematch with Eblen, That's a tall order, man. That's tough, dude.
Evelyn's a monster, dude.
Yeah, that's a tall order. But it's funny. You listen to him at the press conference. You know, you feel like the guy's done so many. You look at his record, 49-8-2. And I was like, he doesn't even want to be up there. I was like, you're in Paris. And he's just like, yeah, you know.
He hates it.
I'm just here. You know. Just going to take this and go somewhere over the rainbow after this.
It's a good gay guy.
Fabian, that's so funny. I was listening, but it's funny when we start talking about brothers, and then I made the remark about how brothers and how he sounded like his brother. It made me think of the Njoki Wani brothers, and those brothers do not sound alike.
No,
at all,
not in the least. Chidi, man,
he's a
voiceover actor.
Yes, his voice is so like gravelly, but it's like smooth. But, yeah, you couldn't have two different sounding brothers than those two.
That's too funny. Yeah. By the way, if BKFC 41 turned you on to BKFC, they are doing an event on Friday night as well, BKFC 42 from South Carolina. It's back to where if you just have a subscription to the app, it's in there, so it's not a pay-per-view this time. So it doesn't have the big MMA names on it this time around. That you might, you know, that were on BKFC 41 that didn't make it incredibly intriguing. So, you know, don't have that to tune in. Tune in for Cole Farrell, if you will. I met this kid. I actually did an interview with him. If you want to check out the MMA Underground YouTube page. First time meeting him yesterday, I believe, we did the interview. And he's, super nice kid, man. I really enjoyed talking to him. He's 11-1 as a mixed martial artist, Ooh. but he's given his he's taking a shot at BKFC and then hopes to be busy the rest of this year, get 3 more wins and get to 14-1 and hopefully get a call up to the UFC. So that's his plan. But I just want to give a shout out to him because he was fun to talk to. So you do have BKFC. Last one to give a shout out to the PFL. First of all, started out with a rough week with all the testing failures, which is an interesting story in itself because you had a handful of former UFC fighters that tested positive who have been tested under USADA and then get tested by Nevada, and they fail. So I'm kind of interested to hear, you know, what the level of testing is in Nevada and kind of what happened. I need to talk to the commission and see, you know, is this a situation where guys get out of the UFC and they think, well, you know, I've had this lingering injury I've been wanting to take this stuff for forever, but I knew I couldn't get away from it with USADA. But now that I know USADA's not testing me, I bet I can get away with it. I don't know. We're going to find out a lot. So start out with bad news for them. And that is wild. It's just going to shake up the tournament. They still got to announce some new matchups, and they've got to announce what they're going to do to adjust the standings and all that. So we got some news coming. But then they countered the bad stuff with the signing of Cedric Doumbé, who I would just give this a shout out. If you are not familiar with Cedric Doumbé's body of work, I think there's some of it on Fight Pass, but if not, just go Google Cedric Doumbé and highlight reel, and this dude is fun, man. And he's been training, you know, he's been cross-training and some grappling and getting ready, but there is no question about it. He's one of the absolute best strikers on the planet, and I wanted to give a shout-out to PFL. You remember, he signed with the UFC to fight in Paris, and then the commission there wouldn't approve his matchup, and so they ended up, I guess, terminating the contract, or the contract was built around that fight happening and didn't happen, and so now he signed with the PFL, and this dude is a lot of fun to watch. So I just wanted to give him a shout-out.
And I want to make sure, because I want to get your thoughts. When we were talking about initially going back to the Nate Diaz, Jake Paul presser, did you see at the very end when they did the scrums? So they brought up the fact about weed. And
Nate was like, what?
Yeah, you know, yeah, we'll smoke weed or whatever, it'll be fine. And they were like, oh, well, we're going to have a meeting, we're going to have an exemption or some sort of shit when his manager was talking about whatever. And then the commission came out today or said something. They're like, no, it's everybody's gonna be held to the same standard, you know. So that it just makes you wonder, like, did you not know what was gonna happen?
It is a weird decision because of all the places you could have done it, you go to the one that has the most draconian
weed
laws.
Strict, and it's just like, even the whole thing, when it was so funny, but it was so Diaz. I loved. He's like, this press is stupid. Where are the people at? You know, where's everybody at?
And Jake was like, your company put it on.
You're part of this. You're part of the promotion. Like, you could have made it happen. He's like, your people. So you're saying your people fucked up?
It did have a weird atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it was weird not having people there.
It would have made it just so much better. But obviously, Jake understood, you know, what would have happened. Like, when it was like people there, like, they're trying to tell.
You got Diaz's army was going to roll deep.
You got Ariel apologizing for, you know, Diaz's comments because there might be kids watching. And then you got, like, if Diaz's army was there, you know, like, how crazy would have been anything that was said out of, you know, Paul's mouth at that point would have just been booed or whatever.
But that would have been some atmosphere.
Yeah.
It felt so empty, man.
It was crazy.
A big – and, like, why even go into the arena floor?
Yeah.
If – you know what I mean? Like,
you're not going to see anything in the background.
Yeah. I think that makes it even feel more, like, airy and empty because you've got a massive arena, you know what I mean?
Better media would have still stuck to his gun and asked that dumbass question if he was surrounded by, like, all those people.
Good point.
It would have been a lot of fun because then it was funny because like when Jake
he gotten hit with a drink or something.
Did he?
No, I'm saying if there were people around, like
easily
would have thrown.
You know, because when he was like, oh, you know, when Nate like asked him his name and said whatever, he's like, hey, it's a better media, you know, and then said his name. The kid's like, you know, I'm a little scared or whatever, and I was like, you might be just saying that now, but I was like, if they had the full crew there, they had the full people there, like
somebody would have smacked him.
Somebody probably would have did something. Like trying to leave or something or jump the fence or whatever. I was like, they don't have security. It's protecting the media. You're going to do some dumb shit like that. Interesting. But I just thought it was funny about the weed comment. And I was like.
It's wild. So basically it's like, it's going to be a no contest.
I mean, let's be real. I mean, like, I'm sure Nate is, like he said, he's been boxing since he was like 15 years old. I mean, like, I'm sure when he goes and he works out and he's doing some boxing, but is he going to stop doing his life leading up to this? Hell no.
He's going to
be smoking straight up to like the day of, you know, like it's going to be ridiculous. So it's like, bro, but as long as the fight's able to go on, if they rule it or whatever,
like
who cares?
Such a
fight
right?
Still happens.
Like that's the whole thing with the Diaz brothers. Like, I don't care what their record is. Like, I don't care. Like,
that's it. I mean, he's doing money and whatever. And like, you know, when somebody's asked, like, you know, if you lose, is this going to be it, or are you going to be done? He's like, nah, I'm gonna be around.
He's like, I'm gonna go win the title in the UFC, bro. He's like, I'm going back to fight the champ.
He's like, I'm still gonna smoke my weed. We're gonna fight. I'm gonna make my money. And if you call it a no contest or you do whatever I don't care.
I don't care.
You're gonna find me? I'm never coming back to the state. You're never gonna get shit.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good luck getting your money because it ain't happening. You can come to Stockton to try to collect. How about that?
They're like, sir, we're going to make sure you're never credentialed to fight here again. He's like, I ain't even going to fight in your state.
It's so true, man.
Oh, it's silly.
Hopefully, I'll be there for that. I'm planning. I'm still trying to work out my schedule, but yeah, I'll go there. Because obviously, it's in Dallas. If it was somewhere else, I probably wouldn't go. But being in Dallas, like, I can go, you know, see my family and stuff.
Bond puts this picture the other day, and I give him credit, whatever. He's like, oh, I'm in Dallas. You know, I got to stop by this place. And it was a picture of Fortis MMA. In my head, I was like, Pecan Lodge. I was like, I love you, Sabe, but if I'm going to Dallas, I'm going to Pecan Lodge, dog. I'm getting me some barbecue. How do you go to Dallas and not get some damn quality barbecue? I bet he didn't even. He's Canadian. He probably got like some smoothie or something.
I'm not saying anything.
Pecan Lodge, yo. I know we've talked about them before. Dallas got – I mean, you could talk about different barbecue places for days, but Pecan Lodge, man, is legit.
On point. On point.
Legit. No, I'm –
Now you're craving barbecue.
I'm fucking hungry.
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin your 4 a.m. workout, dog. My man is working out at 4 a.m. in the morning, bro.
I just joined a new gym here in town, and it is always busy. Always busy. So I went at like 6 a.m. 2 days ago, and I was like, why are there so many people here? Like, you're all crazy. So in my head, I'm thinking like, well, I show up at press conferences like an hour before the start time. I'm like, I'll just go even earlier. So I got there today at 4 o'clock. And there was still a decent amount of people. I was like, oh, well, I'm still getting my workout in. So, yeah, later on tonight, in a few hours, I'm probably going to hit the wall, and I'll be, like, going to bed. But I'm going to be back there tomorrow, baby. I'm going back there again tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to work on the abs, and I think we're going to work back a little bit.
I respect it, bro.
Yeah, you know, I have nothing else going on in my life. Might as well just go to the gym.
Just go to the 4 a.m. workouts.
Just go to the gym. Fuck it.
That's when you get old, when 4 a.m. is the start of your day and not the end of it.
I know.
4 a.m. used to be the end of the day.
My mom has that problem. She's obviously older than me, but she like doesn't sleep well. She's always been like a crack of the dawn sort of person, always early. And I'm like, is this me now? Am I now becoming that? Where I just wake up. It's like, you know, as you get older in life, you know, you just want to spend the hour sleeping, you know, enjoy the day. So just get up. But I did feel good. Like after I got done with that, I came back here. It was like 6 o'clock. I'm making coffee. And I was like, shoot, I don't even start work for like 3 hours.
Look at that.
I was like, now what do I do?
I don't even know you anymore. I respect
it,
though.
Day drinking. So what are you going to do? All right, before we sign on, what are you going to do then for Saturday since the morning? You're going to have a cafe? You're going to have some coffee, you know, leading into Paris in the evening? Or are you just going to start
So Paris is Friday morning. So that's Friday morning. So we get day events both days. So, yeah. So I'll be up at 8:30 in the morning. 8:30 is not too early. If you're not getting up by 8:30.
Start day drinking?
No.
Oh, okay.
I got to work.
Okay.
I mean,
that's what
kind
I was
of,
asking.
Kind of. I mean.
Oh, yeah. You writing a bunch of stories?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So John will be day drinking.
No, I won't. I won't. I gotta have my mind clear for the end of half episode. And then I got to go to the Las Vegas Lights game at night. So if I start drinking at 8 in the morning,
yeah,
like,
you're never gonna make
I'm going to be an absolute
you're
mess.
You're going to literally be in the pool.
I'll be in the kiddie pool, dude. Like, just passed out in the kiddie pool.
Oh,
how great would that be, dude? I'm just laying down, just passed out in the kiddie pool while there's a soccer game going on.
Just
and
so
I'm
I
just,
can see their Twitter account say, look who's here and playing in the kiddie pool.
Passed out in it.
Just to get the, what are those, wings?
Little water wings?
Water wings.
Little water wings, get little rubber duckies on there or something.
Except have like beer koozies or something.
That would be awesome, dude. The little beer koozies on the side with the straws, you know, like kind of like the hat, except it's like the water wings. No, I will have a coffee like a responsible human being and watch UFC on ABC4 as well as Bellator 296 the day before. So tune into both of those.
Okay.
We will have the and a half episode for all you supporters over patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. And everybody will have their weekend. You can be a hardcore MMA fan this weekend and still go out on your weekend nights. That's a win
unless
for everybody.
Unless you start day drinking.
But don't do that. And thanks for listening.